Beloved, open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20 tonight. Let's stand together and read together these Ten Commandments from God. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 1. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Let's pray together. Father God, I am really thankful that you're God who desires to make yourself known to us. And we see that, Lord, you know, here when you are taking the Israelites out of their captivity in Egypt, you come to Mount Sinai and you reveal to them, in these Ten Commandments, your character and what you expect of your people. And Father, it's binding and it's lasting truth. And I thank you, Lord God, that not only do we have these words, but we have a myriad of words after these words to describe to us your nature and your character, the greatness of your person, the wonder of your holiness and your majesty, the vastness of your grace, the deep compassion of your mercy. Lord, it is an awesome thing to know that you desire for us to know you and that you've made yourself known in your word. So thank you, Father God, for not being far off. And not a God that we cannot approach, but Lord, for making yourself known to us through your word. And Lord, as we're looking at these Ten Commandments, I pray that you'd help us to remember that these words that we're looking at, they are foundational words, foundational statements. They are, Father, timeless and eternal truths and descriptions that you give and expectations that you give, Father God, that do not fade with time, but that are fulfilled in the person and in the life of Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we look tonight, especially at this fifth commandment, I pray, Father God, that you'd move in our hearts to help us understand what it truly means to honor our father and our mother. That we would be honest in evaluating the nature of our own hearts towards our parents. You know, how we have done that. And Father, I pray that we would see the vital importance that you place on this commandment. So meet with us, Lord God, and draw our hearts out to you. I pray that you'll empty me of myself and fill me with your spirit. I pray, Father God, that I just be faithful to your word, faithful to your text. And I pray, Father God, that your people in this room, that they would receive your word with gladness and with thanksgiving. Lord, we love you, and we are truly thankful to be your people. We really are. We're thankful, Father God, for the grace that covers us, the grace in which we stand. Thankful, Christ, that your sacrifice on the cross has paid for our sins, past, present, and future. And thankful that you have drawn our hearts away from the foolishness and the death that is sin, and that you have given us great joy and satisfaction in serving and in knowing you, Christ. We love you, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, beloved, we're going to sort of turn the corner in our study of the Ten Commandments, and we're going to begin looking at the second table of the law. Now, if you're familiar with theologians and they're talking about the Ten Commandments, they'll often just divide the Ten Commandments into two tables, they say. There's the first table of the law, the first four commandments, and then there's the second table of the law, which is the next six commandments. And the reason they call them the two tables of the law is this. They say that the first table of the law, the first four commandments, they deal specifically with how we as the people of God, as His covenant people, are to relate to God. They explain to us how we as God's people are to relate to Him, how we are to love Him. And then in the second table of the law, the next six commandments is the description then of how we as covenant people are to relate to the world that's around us, and specifically and first to our covenant people around us. And so what we see is this, is that human relationships cannot be divorced from our relationship to our covenant God. The first four commandments, they inform us how we're to love God, and then the second six commandments tell us how we are to love our neighbor. All right, and Jesus talked about that. Remember over in Matthew chapter 22 and beginning in verse 37 when he was asked, what's the greatest of the commandments? And he responded by saying this. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's the first, the great and the first commandment, and that encompasses the first four commandments. And then, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Okay, so that's what we're looking at. When you look at the Ten Commandments in that way, when you understand the Ten Commandments as two tables of the law, one dealing specifically and initially and primarily with how we relate to God, and the second group dealing primarily with how we relate to one another, then you begin to see the significance that the second table of the law would begin with this commandment that we've read tonight. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. John Durham says of this commandment and its relationship to all of the different commandments, he says, just as the relationship with Yahweh is the beginning of the covenant, so this relationship between parents and children is the beginning of covenant society. It's the inevitable point of departure for every human relationship. The first commandment, beyond the relationship with Yahweh, who according to the Old Testament is the giver of life, is this relationship to father and mother, who together are channels of Yahweh's gift of life. No human relationship is so fundamental. Okay? And here's why this commandment, beloved, is so important. I want to set the stage for it before we look at it. Here's why this commandment is so important. In the vast majority of cases, the first people that a child knows are his parents. The home has been fashioned by God. The home, in the way that God describes it in His Word, has been fashioned by God to be our first inheritance, the first gift from the Lord. It is fashioned to be our first school, our first hospital, our first government, our first church, and our primary relationship. And it is in the sense of the biblically defined family that our first understanding of God-ordained authority comes into view. It's in the home where our first picture of God's sovereignty is given for our understanding. Okay? So this commandment is not a throwaway commandment. And I think sometimes we treat it in that way. It's sort of one of those ones that we say or we'll reference when we say something snarky about our parents, or we, you know, act in a way that we shouldn't act about our parents. We'll just kind of throw that out there and kind of giggle about it. This is no laughing matter. This commandment is not, there's no laughing matter at all in this commandment. Okay? So let's take a careful look at this commandment, and let's try to understand the fullness of its implications. Look at it again, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Okay, I want you to see this. God describes the relationship that we're to have with our father and our mother by using the word honor. Okay? It comes from the same root that we use to get the word glory when we speak of God's glory. All right? And what God is doing here is using a strong and a purposeful word, a word that means heavy or weighty or valuable. Okay? That's what He's using. And so the idea of honoring one's parents is to give to them the weight, to give to them the honor, to give to them the glory of which their position and their person are deserving. In other words, to honor your parents, to honor your father and your mother, is to give them the proper value they deserve in your heart. It is to give to them the proper gravity and proper importance that they are to have in your heart. It is to give to them the recognition that they deserve for their God-given authority in your life. Okay? That's the idea of honoring your father and your mother. The idea is to respect them, to esteem them, to value them, and to prize fathers and mothers as a gift of God's grace. Specifically then, what this commandment is forbidding is disrespect and contempt and disregard and sort of the ignoring of your parents. If parents are weighty, then God forbids treating parents lightly, but requires that we treat them with great seriousness and value. And for that reason, this commandment is a valuable, valuable corrective in our own culture, in which rebellion is not merely expected, okay? Rebellion is not merely expected by children towards their parents. It is accepted and it's even encouraged. God takes this commandment, as he does all of his commandments, very seriously. In fact, here's the thing about this commandment. If you look in the Old Testament at some of the greatest penalties for sin in the Old Testament, dishonoring your parents ranks right up there at the top. Let me just give you two passages that speak of the dishonoring of parents in the Old Testament and how serious it is. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 9, it says, "For anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood is upon him." Blood's on your own hands. You cursed your father and your mother, you deserve to die. Leviticus 20 verse 9. Or for example, the words of Deuteronomy chapter 21 and starting in verse 18. "If a man has a stubborn and a rebellious son and will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of the city, 'This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. And all Israel shall hear and fear." You shall purge. Do you see how seriously God takes this? This is not a light matter. Okay? Even when you get to the New Testament, and Christ has taken the curse for even disobedience to parents, and so we don't take kids outside and stone them these days. Although it would probably reduce the incidence of dishonor towards parents quite drastically. But even when we get to the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul identifies disobedience to parents as one of the chief signs that we're living in the last days. Rampant disobedience to parents. Okay? This commandment's important, and in fact, this commandment was unique in the ancient world. There was not another one like it. There wasn't another one like it. Honoring father and mother is uniquely God's command. It is uniquely a command of God for all people and in all places. And here's the truth, and this is why we as the covenant people of God ought to really take a deep breath and a very serious consideration of this commandment. When societies like our own fail to promote this biblical picture of family life, whether it's through the promotion of rebellion or through, for instance, the promotion of homosexual marriage as the norm, or through the encouragement and the subsidization of parental irresponsibility and a culture of baby mamas and baby daddies that aren't married to one another, that culture sows the seeds of its own destruction. That's a fact. Wherever you see the nuclear family breaking down, it is not long before you see that culture follow suit. You saw it, you see it throughout the ancient, pagan world. You see it in Israel. And listen, you're seeing it today in this country. This is a serious commandment. Okay? No playing games with this commandment. It's serious. It's important, and it unapologetically assumes the biblically defined and God-ordained structure of the family. Okay? It's not saying that there are a variety of different kinds of families that you can just mix, match, and throw together, and they're all families. No, no, no. That's not what this commandment's assuming at all. So as covenant people, we need to take this commandment seriously. All right? So here's the great question. Why should children honor their parents? Okay? Why should children honor their parents? Well, the first and most obvious answer to that question is that God commands it, and that should be enough. Right? But there is more. I mean, sure, God commands it, and that's true, but there are other reasons as well. Okay? Parents deserve honor for the sacrifices that they make for their children. They deserve honor for the work that they do to provide for their children, for the care that they give to their children, for the way that they put themselves out there to provide for their needs. Now, obviously, we're talking in the context of a covenant family here, all right? I'm not talking about, you know, deadbeat dads and all that stuff. I'm talking in the context of the covenant family, okay? Parents deserve honor for the sacrifice that they make. They do. Parents deserve honor for the wealth of wisdom and life experience that they have, right? But the reason given to the Israelites in this commandment is a promise from the Lord that in honoring your parents, your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. God makes a covenant promise that attends this commandment to honor your father and your mother. And the covenant promise that he makes is this, is that if they will honor their fathers and their mothers, the days will be long in the land, which is a Hebraic way of saying they will receive the fullness of God's blessing. You honor your father and your mother and you'll receive the fullness of God's blessing. You'll enjoy abundant life. Well, why does God say that? What is the connection then between honoring your father and your mother and having an abundant life? What's the connection there? Simply this. Covenant parents have the God-ordained responsibility to teach their children the gospel, to teach their children how to know and love God, to teach them how to serve the Lord, to teach them to trust the Word of God, to teach them how to worship Him, to teach them how to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior and Master. Covenant parents who truly belong to Christ hold the keys to covenant life with Christ. And so, if the children will honor their parents and respect them and be in submission and learn from them, this is the primary way that the gospel is propagated amongst the people of God. Do you see it? That's why this is important. That's why this commandment is important. And so for that reason, for the sake of children's souls, they are to honor their parents and respect them and be in submission to them and learn from them. Because the fifth commandment is an essential part of God's plan for bringing about the faith of His covenant children. It is an essential part. Honoring father and mother is for the child's own eternal good. Because here's a fact. There's no disputing that children not raised in a Christian home are at a distinct disadvantage to those who are. They are. Okay? Children that are not raised in a Christian home are at a distinct disadvantage to those who are. God is gracious. God does save people out of unbelieving homes. I am living proof of that. But foundational to God's plan of the propagation of the gospel is the covenant family. Parents who raise their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and children who honor their father and their mother. It's a foolish child indeed. A foolish teenager indeed, who despises the good gift of godly parents. And it is a foolish parent who does not instruct and demand that his or her children honor them in the Lord. This is serious business. So then, how is this commandment applicable? Throughout the stages of our life, how is this commandment applicable to us? Well, let's consider the stages of life. Let's think about them for a second. First of all, the command to honor father and mother is certainly applicable to young children. Young children, how do they do that? How do they honor their father and mother? Well, young children should speak to their parents respectfully and properly. Young children should be honest and obedient with a good attitude. That should be the expectation. Parents should expect them to be that way. One of the greatest failures in promoting this commandment in our children is when we are lackadaisical or inconsistent in our expectations. Let me just let you in on a secret, okay? And you can share this with those of you that you know that have little kids. It is neither funny or cute when children are disrespectful to their parents. It is not funny. It's not cute. It's not. It's not something that ought to be videoed and put on Vainstagram. Oh, I mean Instagram. It's not. It's not a joke. Parents who do not correct that sin quickly in their children, who do not expect and instruct their children in the proper way of giving honor to them as unto the Lord when they are young, will have a very difficult time in impressing it on them as they get older. I promise you, that's a fact. This commandment is applicable to teenagers and young adults living in the parents' home. Certainly, honoring father and mother involves the very sorts of things that we expect of young children. Respect, honesty, obedience with a good attitude. But it also includes some other things. Speaking well of your parents. Listening to them. Heeding their warnings as it regards friends or the investment of your time or relationships with the opposite sex. Submitting to holy expectations for your life. That's ways you honor your parents. It also includes communicating with parents. One of the subtle ways that this commandment is often broken is by refusing to communicate with parents or to withdraw from them. Okay? To go in your bedroom and to close the door behind you and lock it. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not saying you have to do this. But if one of my kids decided to do that, the very first thing that would happen is that door would get kicked onto the floor. And then it would be taken outside, and it would be sawn into pieces, and it would be left outside to be used for tinder to make fire in the fire pot in the backyard. If you put up with that as a parent, shame on you. You shouldn't. It's ridiculous. There's an expectation, yes, that the parents, especially the father, would not exasperate his children, but listen up. To refuse to communicate with the parents or to withdraw from them is as much dishonoring of their parents as to openly curse them in front of other people. That's a fact. This commandment is also applicable to young adults who no longer live at home. How do you honor your parents? If you're a young adult and you no longer live at home, maybe you have your own family or whatever. How do you do that? Well, hold on. Just as a young adult, before you're married or anything else. Let's think about that. The way you honor your parents is by seeking their counsel. To seek their counsel about career choices or about the selection of a spouse, about starting a family or educational opportunities, stuff like that. While the decisions at that point are primarily, you know, theirs to make, the young adult, it's still wise and proper to seek the counsel of your parents. In that way, you show them honor. You show them deference. You show them respect. The commandment is also applicable once you have a home and a children of your own. What's it look like then? What's it look like to honor your father and your mother, for instance, when you're married and you're to cleave to your spouse? And you've got your own home and maybe children of your own. The way you do that is by giving to your parents a proper priority in your life. It can't be above your spouse, right? It can't be above your spouse. But you need to give your parents a certain priority in your life. How do you do that? You love them. You visit them. You open your home to them. You care for their physical and their emotional and their spiritual needs as much as possible until the very end of their lives. Proverbs 23 and verse 22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she's old." Okay? That's applicable for all of us. To honor your father and your mother in those ways is to honor the Lord. Leviticus 19:32 says, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." So this commandment is applicable to the entire scope of our lives. You don't get to a certain age where this is no longer applicable to you. Okay? It just doesn't happen. You don't get to a certain station in life. Well, now I'm married, I've got my own kids, you know, forget about my parents. Mm-mm. This is applicable the whole way. But here's one of the questions that I often get. What if your parents are not Christians? Then what? How do you honor your father and your mother if they're not believers? Or if they're only nominal believers? Or if they're like annoying, but, you know, people? I'm being honest. I'm just saying what you're thinking. What was that? What was that over there? Everybody's looking at you? I won't mention your name just in case your parents listen to this and find out that you think they're annoying. What if your parents aren't Christians? What if they don't know God? What if they're not a part of the covenant family of God? What about this commandment then? Let me say this to you, okay? Rather than it being of less importance and not applicable because your parents are not believers, this commandment actually takes on an even greater weight. And here's why. It's because through the honoring of them in a way that is not of the world, that it just might be the inroad through which the gospel comes to bear on their lives. When you honor your father and you honor your mother and you do what the world by nature does not do, it may be the very way that the gospel comes to bear upon their hearts and their lives. Now, look, there's no doubt that unbelieving parents can often have a very difficult time understanding their children's insistence, your insistence, on putting Christ first in your life, or in the decision-making that you do, you know, or in the way that, you know, you relate to them, you know, what you give to them or you don't give to them, you know. It can be hard for them to understand putting Christ first in the parenting and in family and in thinking and in living. I've experienced that struggle myself. It can be very draining. It can be very difficult. I understand that. I get it. And it is hard. But it's especially critical in those kinds of situations to explain the heart and the reasoning behind your decisions and your life. To really explain it. And not from like a position of moral superiority, from a position of somebody who has been mastered by and is submitted to Jesus Christ. And when you come to an impasse with your parents, if you come to that, you know, an impasse regarding something, you know, that's when the words of Jesus are applicable over in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. But don't draw the line too close to, you know, the conflict. You know, sometimes we have first bit of conflict or misunderstanding, or they don't quite grasp why we do what we do. And we're like, okay, right there, we got to cut them off because Jesus said, no, be careful about that. Where you can, you need to respect your parents. Where you can, you need to accept their counsel. Listen to their wisdom from life experiences and look for ways, as hard as it may be sometimes, to strengthen and sustain family ties in any way that you can. Because this commandment's serious. And thinking about this commandment, I want to close by just asking this. We need to ask ourselves this question. Does my relationship to my father and mother bring glory to God? If your parents are still living, or one of your parents is living, or even in the way that you reflect on and speak about your parents if they're both deceased, does my relationship to my father and my mother bring glory to God? Are you honoring your parents in the best way that you can? If I look at my own life, I can see that, honestly, I have not kept this commandment well at all. I really haven't. I haven't kept this commandment not even nearly perfectly, not even close. I just haven't. I think if we're honest, we have to admit that none of us have done this perfectly. Some have done better than others, you know, but none of us have done it perfectly. The fifth commandment, man, it's a part of God's law. And like the rest of God's law, we've all broken it. We all have. None of us has been the perfect child. That's why we need a Savior, right? Because none of us has been a perfect child. There's never been a perfect child except for one. Jesus. And when Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice on the tree, he paid the penalty for our failure to honor our parents as we should, but he also did more than that. Like all the law, Jesus kept the fifth commandment perfectly in our place, on our behalf, so we would be counted as doing it perfectly, and so that we could seek to do in practice what God already regards us positionally as having done perfectly. He paid the price for our sin, but he also offered the Heavenly Father the obedience and the honor that his law demands. And so what we need to do then is to take a look at how Jesus related to his parents and learn from it. The scripture speaks of both Jesus honoring his earthly parents, Joseph and Mary, and his Heavenly Father as well. Right? The scripture says that Jesus in Luke 2 verses 51 and 52, went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus willingly submitted himself, gladly submitted himself to his earthly parents, Joseph and Mary. He honored them. And on the occasions when their relationship seemed to be tested, as when he stayed behind, for instance, in the temple in Jerusalem, or when he kept preaching rather than stopping to visit his family in Luke chapter 8, he was modeling the fifth commandment still by being faithful to honor his heavenly Father by doing his will. In fact, it's before the cross that Jesus could say with integrity, John 17 verses 4 and 5, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had before you before the world existed. And while hanging on the cross, Jesus honored his earthly parent that was left, Mary, until his last breath, by providing for her care in her old age, entrusting her to the Apostle John, who was to be like a son to her. And of course, on the cross, Jesus honored his Father by becoming the propitiation for all of the elect, according to the Father's steadfast love and eternal will. So from birth in the stable to death on the cross, Jesus was the obedient Son who honored his earthly father and mother and his Father who is in heaven. And he left for us a pattern for ourselves to follow. This is one of those commandments that, again, we often give ourselves a pass on. It's the one that, man, if my parents weren't so annoying, I would honor them. Or if my parents weren't such a trial, I would honor them. Or if I'd have grown up in a better home, I would have honored them. And yet we look at this commandment, and we need to take it seriously. And we need to take account of how well we've done truly in honoring our parents. And we need to recognize this, that as difficult as it may seem, we've been freed by Christ through his sacrifice. And we've been united to him so that we can keep this commandment, this fifth commandment, not just in, you know, in imagination, but in reality. In true biblical fashion. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and your mother, that you may live long in the land, and that the Lord your God is giving to you. Let's pray together. Father, I'm very thankful for your word. I really am. And I'm really thankful, Father, for these words. And I'm thankful for the way that they convict me. And really, the way that they dash to pieces all the excuses that I've ever made for not honoring my parents as I should. Or all the excuses that any of us have ever made for not honoring our parents as we should. Father, I pray that we would take this seriously in our own homes, especially as in our own covenant families, realizing, Lord, that we live in a culture, we live in a world that is steadfastly against this commandment being fulfilled. It is a culture that continually preaches autonomy, a culture that continually preaches, you know, this thought that there is no accountability, there should be no accountability between parents and children. We live in a culture that continually redefines the family to try to redefine you out of it. Lord, I pray that we would see the weightiness of these words and that we would be determined to faithfully pursue their obedience in our own lives. Thank you for Christ, who's kept this commandment on our behalf, who's paid the price for our failure to keep it, and who has given to us an example and will give us the very strength that we need in order to do this in a way that brings you honor and glory and satisfaction. So, Lord, move in us, I pray. For your good, for our good, and for your glory, I ask in Jesus' name. And Father, now as we come to this time of business, I pray you'll bless it. I pray, Father God, that our hearts will be united in one single purpose, to glorify you. And as your people, Father God, to live in a manner that brings you praise and brings you just fame in this earth. I pray, Father God, that as we consider all the different things that we need to consider tonight, that we'll do it all with the mind of Christ, and that you will be pleased, and you'll be exalted, and you'll be glorified in the unity that's expressed in our coming together as your people. We love you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.